Welcome, everybody, to WFIU Live on Facebook. This is the Ask the Mayor show we do once a week with Terre Haute, Columbus, Nashville, and Brown County. Today, we're with Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton a day early, but we're still glad to have you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. Good to be with you.
Let's just start with where to start. We'll get to the election in just a little bit, but we have to start with COVID. That predicted spike or wave they were talking about is here. Just Saturday, 8,500 cases in the state, hospitalizations at an all-time high. We've reported on refrigerated trucks for bodies being ordered in Vigo County. ICU beds, 26% available in the state. Governor had new restrictions that we reported on Friday. Though there's a caveat with that, that they're not that mandatory. So where are we right now?
Well, we're in dangerous area, Joe. I think everybody probably follows the national news and sees that the nationally we've dramatically seen a rise in cases. We've had the first time of 100,000 cases in a day about 10 days ago. Now we're approaching 200,000 cases a day. Almost every state is increasing in cases. Locally here in Indiana, our state is going through very rapid rises in cases. In September, just to put a pin in this, in September, we were seeing about 800 or 900 cases a day as the moving average. Just today, I saw we almost reached 6,000 cases a day on the moving average. That's from less than 1,000 cases a day to nearly 6,000 cases a day in about four or five weeks. That's a really rapid rise. And when you see those cases increasing, you know two things are going to follow: more hospitalizations, because they come a little slower than the case rises, and deaths too. Now we're, you know, the healthcare system and doctors and nurses are doing way better. They're doing great trying to take care of people, but we will see those rise too. So here very locally in Bloomington, we're doing better than the state. We're one of only five counties and the only urbanized county that was not subject to the governor's orders. The governor finally took action after the election. I think he's behind the curve a little bit. They're not moving quickly enough. We in this area have moved more quickly in July with a lot of restrictions, but even in Monroe County, we're seeing rises in cases. We're seeing rises in hospitalizations. I know in my departments, we actually had three cases we'll be announcing today on Monday, the 16th, shortly. So the virus is here. The virus is not on break. The virus is, as we get indoors more, it's spreading more. So these are really challenging times to get between now and when the vaccine will be available of a few months at least is really challenging.
Yeah, the state has about a 22%. This is a 7-day unique positive. Monroe County, 11%, kind of hinted toward that. One of the few counties in that yellow metric, but on the verge of orange, and like the almost all the state is in the orange metric. But what needs to happen? I think everyone, or what I'm reading, is that people are in this COVID pandemic fatigue, yeah, and letting their guard down. What do people need to do? What does government need to do to get this back on track? Because waiting for a vaccine isn't always the answer too, is it?
No, obviously a vaccine will be important, but it's not going to be a silver bullet quickly. It's important to remember, even with all this rise in cases nationally and locally, the vast majority of us, 95% plus, have not had this disease. So there is a huge population that is ripe for this disease to spread to. Even as our cases increase, the capacity to grow a lot more is very dangerous. It's a deadly disease. It can overwhelm our healthcare system. So we are reminded that even when we're fatigued, doing the right things of masking, of not getting in large groups, and large group can be eight people. I mean, it's really trying to stay close to your family, household members. I heard an epidemiologist over the weekend say, just don't share air with people that you don't live with. Don't be in a place, because sharing that air is how this disease passes. So we've really got to be careful. There's a huge risk for major additional spread. Locally, we'll be looking at more restrictions. We've been more restrictive than the state, and I think that's helped us with smaller gathering size limits and with an earlier mask mandate that we put in place. We may need to look at additional things. You've seen them around the country with closing hours and different kinds of events and activities being restricted again, because we are, as I've often said, we're not out of the woods now. I'm not sure we can see the edge of the woods yet. So you really just have to get over this fatigue in order to protect each other.
Well, and then it's getting colder out. People are spending more time indoors, and Thanksgiving is coming up really soon. Catherine sent in an email to us saying she wants to travel. She needs a COVID-10 RT-PCR test within 5 days of departure. But we've gotten a few emails from people wanting to know where they can get that rapid test because they want to go see family.
Look, rapid tests, those that are done in 15 or 30 or minutes or so are hard to come by. They're not the most accurate. IU is relying much more on the 24-hour, 48-hour PCR, I think they're called tests. And we need a lot more testing. I mean, we said this months ago that there should be much more testing available. It hasn't happened. We're doing all that we can locally, and IU's doing a lot. But this is a really important point, too. Even if you get a negative test, you still can be infectious. It might miss it. They're not all accurate. I had two negative tests. When I found out later I have antibodies, I was sick. But even if you do get a negative accurate test, you could be infected and infectious within an hour. It's really hard to know. And it reminds us, we just have to be careful. Treat each of us as if we might be infectious or whom we are with may be infectious. Nothing against anybody. It's not a moral failing. It's just protecting. You know, in the holidays, we really need to stick to our households to avoid big spreads this Thanksgiving. It's a big concern.
Yeah. We talked about some of those restrictions the governor put into effect, although I don't think they include businesses, churches, schools. Joyce writes in, wants to know, why are churches exempt? Do you know anything about that?
Well, at the state level, houses of worship generally were treated, I think, independently from some of the other restrictions. I think in the current state order, they are still encouraged to protect. I would say this. I know I've met with religious leaders in our community. I think the religious communities are generally very careful with how they behave and how they act with their congregations, their groups, their many of them have people who are at some risk. So I am not aware of significant spread through religious activity. Now, weddings, receptions, even a Bible study, if you're not careful, any grouping of people, particularly indoors, is dangerous. So those are worthy of real attention. But I'm just not aware of the houses of worship being a real super spreader that we've seen in the last few months.
Bobby emails in and wants to know, how do you put in a complaint on a business for not wearing masks?
You should call the county health department. Now, I will let you know that in terms of individual mask wearing, either by customers, we tend to depend upon the businesses to implement those rules. If they're employees of the business that are not wearing them, that's subject to the business's oversight. And the county health department has regulations to enforce that. They actually have several new compliance officers to help with that too. So be in touch with the county health department. After you can call the non-emergency police number, which I believe is 812-339-4477 for after hours reporting.
Tina sends in a message, who is monitoring the parks? She sees very few adults and children wearing masks.
Well, the parks are, if they're city parks, you know, they're city parks, they're county parks, they're state parks, different kinds of parks. But generally in our county, we have a requirement that you wear a mask when you're within 6 feet of each other. We monitor that. It is true, and we inform people, we distribute masks, we offer masks to folks. it is true that generally we are not fining or worse individuals who decline to wear a mask. And overall, I would say in the community, our mask wearing is very strong. There are certainly incidents where it's not. We've had celebrations after a football game, for example, a surprising win that had a lot of unmasked people. Those are dangerous. They shouldn't happen. I know the university has disciplined some of those students, and we will continue to work to inform people about that.
I was wondering if you had any information about, kind of going along with what you just said about Kilroy's and Kirkwood and the other Kilroy's bars. They were going to open, like many of the bars already have, and then they said due to external circumstances, they were going to postpone their opening. Did the city or IU have anything to do with that?
You know, I really don't know their decision, Joe. I haven't been in touch with them. I did speak with one of the owners of Kilroy's before they opened, when they announced their plans to open, and indicated we were concerned that they had not reached out to us ahead of their opening directly to coordinate their plans. And I simply indicated it was going to be really important that they open in a way that was safe and that complied with all the rules. And they chose, and I haven't been in touch since then, they chose not to open. That was the kind of the first home football weekend that they chose not to open. And I haven't heard anything since from them. Bars and restaurants, it is critically important. Nightclubs, that people behave appropriately, which means only seated service, masks whenever you're not at your table, only groups of relatively small numbers, and the tables separated. We've seen some problems with that in some of the area nightclubs or bars, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's some actions to make sure that doesn't get repeated, because the stakes are high and the numbers are increasing, and we have to really be diligent about compliance.
Do you have a grasp right now on the Bloomington economic outlook? I know a few businesses have closed, learned about another one this weekend around the square. You know, obviously the concern is keeping people safe, but then you have the other wave of businesses that are really hurting, especially with the students that will be leaving for Thanksgiving and supposedly not coming back until February.
Well, the economy's hurting. There's no question about it. We know certain segments of the economy are hit significantly worse, hospitality and hotel, and some of the personal services sectors have been hit really hard. Some business closings are very visible if you have a restaurant or a storefront that's closed. A lot of businesses that are getting hit and closing are not as visible. They're sole proprietorships or their service industries and others. Our unemployment rate is down from what it was in April significantly, but some people aren't looking for work. We know there are a lot of people that have challenges meeting rent. There are a lot of landlords and tenants who are struggling together. I hope they're working together. It is a reminder we definitely need more stimulus package from the federal government to keep helping people. You know, when you have a restaurant or a facility that needs to close, it's nobody's fault. It's not the employee's fault. It's not the proprietor's fault. And we don't want to have, you know, terrible damage to them as a result of that. We really want to help people do the right thing, protect each other. So the economy is, you know, it's taking it on the chin. We've invested, as you know, in Recover Forward, got my logo, I think, here to try to help our community get back. And we're pushing millions of dollars out the door to help businesses, to help nonprofits, to help individuals navigate through this. But it's going to be a long haul coming out.
How is the city doing with COVID infections with employees?
Well, we've been, I would say overall since March, we've been pleased. We've been able to manage this, and it's thanks to the employees and how they behave and control exposure. We did just have today on Monday, we'll be announcing shortly, we had three new cases in the city government, and we've never had a day with three cases. So, you know, statistics are hard to measure, you can get bumps, but it's concerning. I mean, we know there is more virus in our community than there was a week ago or 4 weeks ago, and that hits us. So we need to be sure, and I want to thank the terrific employees of city government who've provided services 24/7 since March. to keep services going, we're going to be probably taking some more steps to do all that we can to protect each other and to keep the services going for our community.
Do those three that just tested positive, do they work with residents in Bloomington?
Generally, not directly, no. They work with other colleagues. So we've had a continuity of city government team, we call it, to make sure we can continue our work. They're going to be invoked even as we speak. I think they're meeting to talk about next steps, which could include accelerating certain of the protection protocols, reducing the interactions of our employees with each other even further. We're doing quite a bit with that. Just trying to be extra careful, knowing the context that the disease is spreading.
Just thought we'd do a quick comment on the election. We pretty much know Indiana's a red state, but were you surprised at all about the red wave throughout the state during this election?
Well, I think everybody had something they liked or didn't like probably in this election from top to bottom. Our county continued with strong Democratic performance. Our state did see significant Republican performance and some gains. And then nationally, of course, we had a mix really from state, from Senate and House to the national election. I do hope people who lose elections will concede. That's important. I've won elections and I've lost elections, and you got to move on and accept the results of the people. It was a great turnout, which was terrific to see. People are energized and care a lot. I would say this, we got some things to fix. We need to fix the election process so it's easy to vote, safe to vote, as many people as possible can vote. We need to get rid of gerrymandering so that Indiana did not have a 79-21 vote in the House, but that's what the result is going to be. 71-29. That wasn't the way the vote was. The districts are dramatically skewed. And then the third thing is really looking at the Electoral College. When you have a president win by more than 5 million votes, but it's a squeaker in other ways, you know, we got to fix our democracy a little more, I think.
And just have to mention your wife, Dawn, is part of the Biden transition team, right?
Yes. My wife, Professor Dawn Johnson, is officially part of her third presidential transition team. She's helping with the Biden effort like she did with the Obama and Clinton efforts. So she's busy between now and January 20th trying to help make sure that transition goes well.
We have just a couple more minutes, but have to touch upon, there's the hospital development site happening. There's still things going on in the city. The convention center is having a meeting. UDO is underway. Let's just start with the UDO. I think we're still talking about plexes, right? Multi-do triplexes in residential areas downtown. But the city council adopted the UDO last December. So what are these meetings happening this week for?
Yeah, so the Unified Development Ordinance, which is basically the zoning for the city of Bloomington, is a long process that really starts with the comprehensive master plan, which sets in goals and strategies and targets, turned into the text of the zoning and the current zoning. And that's been done in the past couple of years. But right now, the final step is assigning the new zoning definitions to all the map, to the whole map. So we're trying to eliminate over 100 planned unit developments. These are kind of specialized zoning districts that have grown up over the many years, trying to get back to standard zoning. We've got some new zoning definitions. For example, the new map will include some areas that are designated for basically large student, particularly undergraduate, housing. Where should that be in the city? And not having it spread kind of so randomly, but concentrating it more where we think it's helpful, particularly close to the university campus. There's also a new residential district. You mentioned the plexes. We have five different residential districts from largest to smallest lot. And in each of those districts, there's zoning that says what can be built there, what kind of buildings and what kind of uses. And one thing Bloomington doesn't have a lot of is what people call the middle, the missing middle. We have a lot of single family homes. We have a lot of multifamily buildings. We don't have a lot of, and particularly new ones, of that missing middle, kind of from 2, 3, 4, 8 units, smaller size like that. So there's a lot of debate about where that should be, how to help people live in the community. We're a very expensive market. So the UDO meetings will discuss all of that. So everyone's welcome to go either in person or online. You can give feedback.
And the hospital development site, I guess I should mention, if you drive by, which I don't get out much, no one gets out much anymore, and drive by the new hospital, you'd be surprised how much that's taken shape. But also the city is working on the current hospital site, and it's getting close to kind of zeroing in on a site plan?
Well, yes, we would call it a draft master plan, kind of a vision document of what ought to be done. And we hope to have that concluded by the end of this year. So we are wrapping in. There's a public meeting Wednesday this week, the 18th in the evening, in front of City Council, which will be very interesting for those who haven't followed it. We're continuing to welcome feedback. This plan will look at how the street network should be changed and restitched, if you will. What kind of texture to the new reuse of that hospital? It's a wonderful opportunity. We've had hundreds of individuals giving us feedback, and we welcome even more.
And convention center meeting tonight to get some feedback from people about how that should move forward. It should be rethought about. Just curious your opinion on what should happen now with the convention center, particularly now with the pandemic.
Well, I think the pandemic has meant, and I think everyone knows, we took a step back and said, let's take a breath. It's not time to dig into that right now. I think it's too early. I'm not. I think this meeting that's scheduled is a little too early. We intend to get together with all of our partners either very end of this year or early next year to just start looking at the data, seeing what the industry looks like, what the data of visitors looks like. And Bloomington's an important, tourism is an important part of our economy, as our visitors to the location. A lot of people want to be here, but what will that be like over the next year, two, five? We need to talk about that and think about it. But it's likely that people are going to want to keep traveling, maybe more by car. That could be an advantage for us. But there's a lot of open questions, and we'll look forward to talking about that. I think it's a little too early to try to assess exactly where we are yet, though.
Well, that's about, I know we're over time here, but I always like to give you the last word or any announcements that you'd like to say.
Joe, thanks. I would just say I do hope people have a good holiday season. We're headed into that, but be careful and be different. It's just a different year. We've had to learn to be different this year in lots of ways, and I would strongly encourage us all to be particularly safe over these next few months. We will get through this. There will be a vaccine. We'll get that distributed, but that's going to take some time. And in the meantime, there's real risk to the vast majority of us who have not had exposure to this disease yet. So be careful.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. And those that are watching or listening over on WFIU, don't forget you can send a question for Mayor Hamilton or Jim Linup, the mayor of Columbus, Duke Bennett in Terre Haute, Dax Norton in the municipal consultant in Nashville, and we'd be happy to pass those along on Ask the Mayor. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Joe.